Praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Praise God. What a wonderful time. Mother's Day. All you mothers out there, we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Blessings upon you and your family this morning. So glad that each and every one of you joined us today. If you're a visitor here this morning, we're thankful that you're here. We want you to make yourself at home. Enjoy yourself in the presence of the Lord today. Do want to get started with a few announcements, get some announcements out of the way. We do have our Mother's Day Memorial Offering. We've got envelopes available for that. It's something they do each Mother's Day. A lot of you are familiar with it, but it's based on your mother's birthday. If your mother was March the 15th, mine's the 10th, so we give like $10 toward it. And then my wife's mother's got a different birthday. We give, I think hers is the 21st, so that's a $31 offering. That's kind of gives you a guideline on how to give an offering for the Mother's Day Memorial. It's based on your mother's birth date. So if you want to participate in that, there's an envelopes available this morning. Praise God that there's some great things that Mother's Memorial offering goes to support. I believe it supports the missionaries and a lot of their appliances and things that they need in their area of work. So if you want to participate in that, please do so. We want to encourage you to do that this morning. Praise God. We do have let me see here. Don't forget about our digital giving option through the My Church app. That's an option available for everyone in the church. If you forget your tithing envelope, you can always give online. Also, this coming Sunday, May 17th, the AM service is going to be a U-turn graduation Sunday. There's going to be a table set up in the foyer to congratulate our seniors and leave cards. Also, Thursday, May 21st at 6 p.m., there's going to be a Ladies United Fellowship. And Sister Jenna Davis will be speaking, and they're going to be meeting downtown at a square. Bring a chair and your own food. All right. Also coming up in June the 14th through the end of August, we're going to be moving to our summertime service schedule. So during the month after June 14th through the end of August, we will only be having an a.m. Sunday service. Of course, our Wednesday evening service also, but on Sundays we'll be leaving the 6 p.m. service out during the summer. Praise God. I believe that's the key announcements I need to make. Can we stand this morning? So good to be in the house of the Lord. I was thinking today, you know, sometimes it rains so much that rivers actually can change their course. They're used to going one way and they actually start creating new channels to go down through. And I was thinking this morning, what would be an awesome thing to happen here this morning, that you would get a new channel today? Maybe you would get out of the rut of way you've been worshiping throughout your life. Maybe you would create a new channel. If the presence of the Lord moves so strong in here, you'd get out of the normal and start doing something. Maybe you'd venture out into a different channel this morning. Praise God. I'm so excited for what God is doing around here. And I just want you to open up this morning and let God have his way. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer today for this service. Lord, we're so thankful. We're thankful for the glory that's in this house this morning. We're praying, Lord, that your spirit would move today, God. Take us to new heights. Take us to new depths, Lord, of your glory in this place. We give you praise today. Today, we're thankful this morning. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I know it's in the morning. Hallelujah. But it's time to shake ourselves and move into the presence of the Lord today. As they lead us in worship, let's let them do that today. And let's step out from our normal comfort zone. Get somewhere with God that you've never been before this morning. Let's worship the Lord this morning.
Let your favor rejoice, we'll rejoice and be glad in them. We'll rejoice and be glad in
most beautiful name of all names. Oh, Jesus, the only name that brings healing and strength. Healing and strength. Your name, mountains move, chains are loose. I speak your name.
Jesus, let's exalt his name together. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap offering this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. What a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. My goodness. Man, it's powerful in here this morning. I don't know if you feel what I feel this morning. My God, I don't know if you'd be sitting in your seat if you felt what I felt this morning. You might move around just a little bit on a Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. My goodness. Ooh, hallelujah. Y'all know y'all all going to be laying around after you eat after a while. Praise God. This is our opportunity this morning. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost this morning. I'm going to ask the ushers to come at this time. We're going to receive our tithes and offering. Don't forget about that ladies' memorial offering, the Mother's Day memorial. If you have that, there's envelopes available for that to give toward that great need. They do a great work each year. We're going to pray over this offering. Father, we're so thankful today, Lord, this atmosphere that we're in this morning. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your presence today, God. We just pray that you would bless this offering, Lord. Bless the remainder of this service, Lord. God, we pray for every need on our board this morning, everyone that has a need in their body, Lord, a healing. We pray for your healing strength, Lord, even as we pray right now, Lord, to go and touch each one, Lord. Strengthen each one. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Y'all give to the Lord this morning. Praise God as a worship team continues to lead us into that atmosphere of praise and worship. This is your opportunity this morning. Hallelujah. I know we're giving financially, but it's also a great time to give our praise and worship to him. Let's do that just for a little while longer this morning.
Every bondage, every sin.
enemies come from me. In the name of Jesus, I'm breaking off every lie that I once believed. The one who lives in me has all authority. The one who lives in me has all authority. You've given me authority to push back the enemy.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. God, what a song. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is so good to us. Amen. So thankful for his power, for his anointing. Amen. Nobody like Jesus. Amen. Amen. I do want to say, here at the outset, what a great time we had this past Friday evening at our youth rally. And if you didn't get a chance to be here, I believe it's still up. Brother Micah, is that right? Still on Facebook. You can go and watch that service and watch the message Brother Jimmy Tony preached to our young people. But it goes beyond just youth. It'll talk to adults as well. And it'll be a great blessing to you if you get a chance to listen to that. He's an incredible communicator. He mixes humor with his message, and God gives him great things to say. So if you get a chance, you'd be blessed by that word. I know you would. And I do want to say special thanks, Sister Taylor and Malone and Sister Candy Goforth. It's been a lot of time and effort up here. The platform looked great Friday night. Give them a hand. We're so thankful for people with vision. We love y'all. Thank you so much. Amen. God bless you for all you do for the house of the Lord. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to every mom. Amen. If there's a mom by you, a lady, tell them Happy Mother's Day. Amen. If you didn't tell your wife this morning, I pray for you today that God would help you and give you strength for this day. Man, so good to be in church. We're so glad you are here. If you are a guest this morning at the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, thank you for being here. God bless you. Could we give our guests a hand if you're a guest? Thank you for coming today. Amen. Our prayer is always that you leave here blessed, uplifted, And we're so thankful for you being here today. To our home folk, thanks for coming to church on a Sunday, on a could be a rainy Sunday, a crazy night last night. Was not expecting to be woken up to hail and thunder, but I was. And I'm glad you made it to church today. God bless you. And I'm reading today. Now, if you can't stand for 20 verses, you can be seated. It's fine. But if you can stand, great. I'm going to read on purpose Proverbs 31, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 10, and I'll read down through verse 31. I was going to read just two verses, and then I thought it'd be good to read the rest of this chapter, and I'll talk about the first of this chapter at the end of the message. But I want to read Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. It's speaking about a mother. Perhaps you've read it, perhaps you've heard it preached, but I want to start off with it again. The Bible says, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Next verse. The Bible says, I don't have this in my notes, so I'm going to follow y'all. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Verse 13 says, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Bible says she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. It continues and says, in her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for a bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Simply nobody like the mother. We thank God for mothers at the UPC of Paris. Amen. Lord, we love you. We pray, bless your word today. Bless everyone in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. You may be seated. Amen. Nobody like the mother. Today, we, of course, celebrate every mother. I think you would agree at the outset, regardless if you were raised by your actual mother, or if grandparents raised you, if an aunt, an uncle raised you, however it was in your life, nobody has patience like a mother. Lord knows, if it wasn't for the patience and prayers of a loving mama, I probably wouldn't be here today. And somebody said amen. Mothers sacrifice a ton in raising their children. Only a mother can say to her kids, I need some me time, please get out of my room. And she is completely satisfied if she gets just 10 minutes of peace in her room. How many times growing up did your mom tell you, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, bless God? Or how about, and I used to hate this, eat your food. There are starving kids in Africa who would love to have what you have. I said, well, Mom, I'm not in Africa. I live in a place called Bonneville, Texas. I think we'll be all right over here. And how many times did Mom say to me, slam that door one more time, and I'm going to get your daddy to take it off the hinges? Anyone have a mama that ever said, I've said this before, but it's one of my greatest. I love this. Anyone ever have a mama that said, I'm on a count to three, and if I get to three, I'm going to beat you? I've said it. I was blessed to be raised by a mother who counted in halves. I knew when we were at Brookshire Brothers in Newton, Texas, and I can almost remember the exact day when I had fudge rounds, a box of fudge. I could have been more than 7 years old, and she said, I'm telling you, put those back. We're not buying those today. I'm on a count of three. One, one and a half, and I knew I had to two in about three quarters, and I could dash back to the rack and throw them on the, and be okay. How about when you were teenagers, Mom would say, get it yourself. I'm not your servant. Who do you think you are? Or the classic one is, when you pay the bills, you can do what you want to do, but for now, turn the lights off when I tell you to turn the lights off. Or my most feared one is, you just wait till your daddy gets home. We love them, and we can't live without them. Mothers have very thick skin when it comes to their own children doing and saying things to them that they don't like. But if they hear somebody else talk about their baby, they get very thin skin, and they can turn gangster in about 0.2 seconds. Amen. Nobody like a mother. Mothers are often called the glue that holds the family together. Years ago, I'll never forget, while I was still at home, we had an elderly lady, Sister Davis was her name. She had passed away, and after her passing, I heard her grieving husband say something that has stuck with me all these years. He said, now that my wife is gone, the place I live in is just a house. He continued and said, when she was here, she's the one who made it a home. A loving wife and a mother are, I believe, God's gift to humanity. Mothers have a way of decorating the home. Mothers have a way of fixing the kiddos' favorite meals. My kids hate it when Jenna's gone for the day. They'll say things to her like, who's going to feed us? And she'll say, well, ask your dad to feed you. And I'll say things like, there's a box of cereal in there, or some ramen noodles. Heat it up yourself. I'm not your mama. Or we just make a quick dash to Chick-fil-A, man. And mothers have a way of fixing their kids' favorite meals. Only a mother can truly comfort her child that's fallen and scraped their knee. Only a mother can whisper everything's going to be okay, and it's like a miracle that takes place. There's nothing like the soothing words of a mother as a child lays sick in bed. Her prayers and words bring relief and a reassurance to that baby that everything's going to be okay because my mother is here. God made mothers unique on purpose. The writer of Proverbs, as we just read in Proverbs 31, he said in verse 27 that the mother watches over the ways of her household. You've heard it preached from other passages of Scripture that a pastor serves as a watchman on the wall, and that God gives him the ability to peer ahead, if you will, and see any incoming spiritual danger, and as he sees it at God's leading, he relays what he sees to the body of Christ. Well, that phrase, it was, as I was looking over these notes this morning, that phrase stood out to me in particular today, and I felt to do a deep dive, a study on what does it really mean when it says a mother watches over the ways of her household. That phrase in 31 and 27, watches over the ways of her household, it describes a woman who acts as a vigilant and proactive manager of her home. The Hebrew word for watches over her home is a Hebrew word called tesef, and it carries the meaning of the same word you've heard preached about pastors. It carries the same exact meaning, that she is literally considered a watchman on a city wall. Someone who is alert to danger and looks ahead in the spirit to prepare, not just spiritual, but to prepare physical needs. I want to insert that the Bible describes a marriage, this isn't a marriage class, but let me just say a couple of things, as a partnership rather than a single guard post, meaning it's not a competition. Both the husband and the wife are watchmen on the wall, peering ahead through prayer, and one of them may see something that perhaps the other doesn't see at the moment, but because they are one with God through marriage, they partner together through His word and through prayer, and they watch over their household. Now, I'm going to spend just a little bit more time here today, but I want to look a little bit deeper into this watchman responsibility of the husband and the wife over their family. While biblical leadership often places the responsibility for the family on the man, the Bible describes, again, a marriage as a partnership rather than just a single guard post. And if you get the time, read it sometime. In Proverbs 31:23, the Bible says the husband is known in the gates. Now, this is an Old Testament topic here, but it means he's known in the gates, where he sits among the elders. In ancient times, the city gates were where the city was governed and where legal and military decisions were made. And the husband, the watchman, was a watchman over the community and over the family standing in that community. And while he watches at the gates, she watches the household. It's not that the man isn't responsible. It's that she is the highly skilled manager, and she is the sentry, if you will, of the home front. Think of it, as I read it this morning, like a security team. The husband watches the perimeter, the community, the external threats. And what does it mean when it says that he watches the perimeter? Well, he acts as a primary shield. I know it's Mother's Day, moms, but give me about 3 minutes to talk to dad. Is that okay? The man, the husband, he's supposed to act as the primary shield against external pressures that could threaten his family's stability and their peace. He guards the perimeter by ensuring the families in a practical way, ensuring that the economic foundation is stable. He guards the perimeter by protecting them from the stress of debt or lack of resources if he can. And he is the filter of what comes into his house. In practical modern day terms, it's simply he is the guard, if you will, over the digital sphere, if you will, the things that come into his home, whether it's social media content, whatever it is, he guards that as the husband of his home. He takes the hits from the outside world. He takes the work stress. He takes the difficult relatives. He takes all the drama, if you will, so they don't spill over and disrupt what is the sanctuary of his home. I just feel this today. Hear me right now, please. The safest place your kids have is that living room you gather in on a weekly basis and you have time together. I encourage you, Dad. I'm going to talk to you, Mom, in a couple of seconds. I encourage you, Dad. Guard your home like never before in 2026. We need to guard the home and guard our family that God has put us over. Man, just as the watchman on the wall, the husband, he looks for spiritual danger. He stays alert to the cultural shifts, to crazy ideologies that might pull his family away from their core values. He also is a physical protector of the home. He's the one that ensures the family, I'll do everything I can to protect you and you don't have to fear, because I'm the father and I'm given that responsibility. So he is the guard, biblically, over the perimeter, while the mother watches the interior, the health, the character, and the needs of those on the inside. They are two watchmen covering different sectors to ensure what? That the family is fully protective. It is a high-level partnership. In the biblical era, the city gates, again, were they were the center of government and external relations, while the household was the center of economic production and spiritual formation. The husband guarded the boundary between the world and the family, while the mother guarded the movement and the health within the home. So while the husband acts as a gatekeeper, the mother is described in verse 27 as watching the ways of her household. The word for ways here is hilkia, and it means a procession, a march, or a life path. She watches the marching of her family. So while he is watching the gates to decide what enters, protecting the family from external or cultural or physical or financial threats, the mother watches the ways of how her family is walking. She's like that internal security or shepherd of the soul within the house. She isn't just watching for intruders, but she is performing a high stakes audit, if you will, of the family's condition. God gives the mother the ability to notice if one of her children, I've seen it over and over, you've seen it perhaps, God gives her the ability to notice if just one of her children is withdrawing, or if the husband could be discouraged even before they say a word. God gives the mother the unique ability, like a pastor, to watch for traps and snares in her children's character, correcting them before a bad habit becomes a permanent path. The husband, he may be the one that sets up the Wi-Fi filter, if you will, but the mother is the one watching the ways, noticing how the kids are changing because of what they see online. The mother is often the first to see the subtle signs of burnout or illness or depression in the household, and she acts as a first responder. She watches to see if the family's daily habits, their ways, if they're leading them closer to their values, or if they're drifting toward a complacent lifestyle. The mother, she watches over the direction of her home so that the family does not slowly drift into some unproductive or careless living. And when the Bible says that she watches the ways, it doesn't mean she's out here barking orders at her husband. It means that she is the expert on the family's internal health. In other words, she has a pulse on the family's spiritual health. And while he may take the lead on the family's overall direction and protection and standing in the community, she takes the lead on the home's internal rhythm and health and development. The Proverbs 31 woman, if you read it in its context, she's actually described with military and masculine language. In King James, it says something like, she girds up her loins with strength to show that her work is just as serious and it's just as vital as a soldier's or a pastor's work. The Hebrew word for virtuous in verse 10 is a military term used over 200 times in the Bible to describe armies, physical strength, and the mighty men of valor like David's soldiers. When the Bible says that she girds her loins, if you study ancient world history, men would tuck their long robes into their belts to prepare for battle or for hard labor. And this phrase is almost exclusively used in the Bible for the male soldiers or the prophets who were preparing for action. But God on purpose put it on the mother to say, not only is she just someone sitting in a home, but she is one that she will fight for her home. She will do battle over her home, whatever it takes in the spirit. The Bible says that she brings home the spoil. The word for gain or plunder is shaleo, and it specifically refers to spoils of war taken from a defeated enemy. The word, it tells us that she doesn't just take it, but she provides for her family. She is the one that provides everything they need within that home. If you look at the scripture, scripture in verse 27, the author places her on the same playing field as the prophet Ezekiel, just as a pastor again is a watchman. He is accountable to God for the spiritual health of their flock. Proverbs says that the mother, she is accountable for the ways of her household. I thank God today for every mother who's ever prayed over your children, who's ever protected your home from harm, who's ever led your family and said, man, things may not be right now, but mama's going to go pray. And when we get done, I believe the Lord's going to answer our prayers. There's nobody like a mother. We thank God today for mothers in the apostolic church. And let me just encourage a mother today and tell you, you may not feel like you're batting 100 right now. You may feel like you're way beneath where you should be. Don't let the enemy try to bring condemnation on top of you. I encourage you to get up tomorrow and be the mother that God called you to be. And God's got his hand on you, and God's going to use you, and God's going to lead you as you lead your family. Thank God for mothers on a Sunday morning. Thank God for mothers today. My mother was like an FBI agent in that she knew stuff I didn't think she knew. Anybody have a mom like that? That you thought you was hiding from her only to find out she knew 2 weeks before? Huh? Anybody ever have a mom that you thought for sure you had snuck this out of the house and you had done this only to find out she knew all along, and because she didn't want your dad to kill you, she didn't say a word? A mother's like an intelligence officer. But in the spiritual realm, she is the one that protects the home's moral perimeter. Only a mom. I can threaten kids. I can do whatever I can try to do as a dad, but a mom is like a mediator. And man, she can step between two kids trying to kill one another, and she can try to bring some type of resolve or peace. But on a serious note, a mother is the one that has the ability. Hear me, it's God given. It's the word of the Lord. She is called. She is the one that has the ability to step in and to resolve disputes and to heal wounds before they become roots of bitterness that destroy a family. A mother has that kind of ability to step into a situation and be someone who knows how to resolve conflict. Thank God for the mother today. What's awesome to me about Proverbs 31 is the chapter, it doesn't start with a description of the wife. But Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9, it starts with the mother teaching her son how to be a just leader. Verses 1 through 9 are actually a mother's instruction to her son, King Lemuel. She was the one who told him in verse 8 that he was to open his mouth for the mute, or in other words, open his mouth for the needy. She was literally watching the ways of her son by training him to be a watchman for the poor. She is an advocate. I never will forget years ago, I worked with a young man who was severely disabled and a great kid. But I never will forget, at times she would stress me out. But the older I get, the more I understand the mother in her. I watched his mother. When nobody else would go to bat for him, when nobody else would advocate for him, I mean, she would talk to me and turn like into a vicious woman. Like, I'm not your problem. I mean, you talk to the school about this problem, not me. But she was so serious that he got what he needed, that she was willing to, if need be, lay the law down and throw some hands or do it through a legal manner. Why? Because the mother will stand up for a child who cannot speak for themselves. Amen. And I think it's important. I kind of feel odd saying this today as a man to a lady, but I do believe it's vital, man and woman, that it should be that we teach our kids the value of standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves, of being an advocate for those who need help in our society. We're not trying to raise weak leaders. My poor girl Addison, every day she gets out of the truck, I tell her, don't forget, you weren't called to follow, you were called to lead. She probably gets tired of that, but I want to make sure they understand we're called to lead others, not in pride. We're called to lead for those who can't lead themselves. We need people to train their homes to be. We're a home of leaders. We're a home of people who show the way, that we will speak up. Some folks say that's practical, that's not spiritual. Well, it's in the Bible. And a mom was serious about not just speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves, but it's teaching us that the mother's responsibility in Proverbs 31, she was the watchman, she was the pulse, she was the one that spoke value into her kids' lives. Thank God for the mother. The Bible says that her children rise up and call her blessed. What he is... A mother. A mother is someone who shelters and guides us, who loves us, whatever we do. I thank God, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but I thank God for a mother who loved me even when I was acting a fool. I mean, I'm serious. Even when I was doing some crazy stuff, I thank God. I've told you, I can take you to where I was standing, Brother Martinez, in books of me, and Mama had just had surgery. She wasn't in no mood to talk to me. I had backslid. I left Bible school. I was acting a fool. And I never will forget, she called me. I was in Beaumont, Texas, standing in books of me, and I was expecting, how you doing, baby? And she didn't even say, how are you, if I remember correctly. When I answered the phone, she said, I want you to know something. I was praying this morning. I thought, oh, God, here we go. She said, and I told the devil he couldn't have you. And I thought, my God. And when she said that, I'm not lying, the Spirit of the Lord fell on this backslidden boy in the middle of books. I thank God today for a mother who didn't write me off when I was acting crazy and doing, she just said, that's all right. He'll get over it. God's going to help him. Thank God for a mother. Amen. Amen. A mother has understanding, and they have infinite patience. They have great gentleness. How often a mother, she'll swoop in and bring swift reassurance to a child. She'll come in tenderly and watch over her children. She'll treasure them all through their years. It's so funny to me, the older I get, even though I don't have old kids, but I understand it more, where a mama can be 80 and her youngest can be 60, and she can still say that's my baby, because they'll always be your baby. That's the power of a mother who loves her child. Thank God a mother's heart is always full of forgiveness. Doesn't matter how big or how small, thank God for a mother who will forgive you no matter what happens. I thank God, my mama, and I mean this today. I thank the Lord, my mother never, ever held anything over my head. Amen. I thank the Lord today that my mother was the greatest supporter I ever had. That if I want to do something, you can do this thing. You just got to pray about it. Let's see what God will do. Thank God for a mother who placed her needs above, or placed my needs above her needs. A mother can utter a word of compassion and make all the cares fade away. We know that she can brighten the home with laughter. I get stressed out and depressed if my wife leaves for like a ladies' conference for 2 days. And it's not just because I'm keeping the kids. That is stressful in itself, amen. And I learned years ago I was not supposed to say I'm babysitting the kids, because I'm not a babysitter. Amen. I'm a father, amen. I'm helping the fam here. But I get stressed when she leaves, because the home literally doesn't feel complete. Amen. When she gets home, I think, man, thank God she's back home. We can live again. We can breathe again. We can do things. She'll cook again for us, and she'll make sure we don't die. Amen. She'll tell me, I'm not your mother, Brad. Don't you know that? A mother possesses incredible wisdom. Amen. And insight and skill. And in each human heart is that one special corner that only a mom can feel. I'm going to end today by kind of switching a little of gears here. The Bible is full of mothers who are incredible examples to every mother. I will not belabor this point. I'll just run through these. But these mothers exemplified what all mothers have done. Eve, even though she failed, God still had a way of making a way of escape for them. Even out of the garden, God still had a plan for their life. Eve survived. Sarah laughed. Hagar endured. Rebecca prayed. Leah praised. Jochebed, Moses' mother, she nurtured. Samson's mother taught him the ways of the Lord at a young age. Hannah gave back Samuel to the house of the Lord. Rizpah, I'd love to preach her someday. Rizpah protected her dead babies from the birds of the air. Naomi led. Even Bathsheba, we preach her negatively, but even Bathsheba interceded. The Shunammite woman whose baby was laying dead at her house, she trusted that God was able to bring him back to life. Elizabeth believed against all hope that her and John could have a baby. Mary obeyed the word of the Lord. The mother with the unjust judge, she kept on persisting until she got an answer. There was a mother who had a boy, and thank God for a mother who prepared him a lunch that day, because we get to read the story of 5,000 people being fed with two loaves and two fish. Three loaves and two fish. Lois and Eunice, they influenced. And then there is what I want to end on today. You can come to the piano. And then there is Zion, which is the church, the bride of Christ. The Bible says that when the church, the mother, when she travails, the Bible says, children are born. One thing that every mother in the scripture, and one thing even the mother that's called the church, they all have in common is that one word we call love. Thank God for what moms are willing to do. You hear a lot about love, and you can't beat a mother's love into a child. That ain't how you do it. But we understand that a mother's love will scale any obstacle. A mother's love will go through any struggle just to help her child. A mother's love will even go to her grave for her child if God would allow it. A mother's love will endure words from her child that hurt deeply yet still love them unconditionally. A mother's love will fight anyone again who attacks her kid in any way. It's the power of a mother's love. And I close today by telling us, as I mentioned a couple of seconds ago, that we are the bride of Christ. We, the church, not just this, but the bride of Christ, we are the mother that Jesus Christ died for at a place called Calvary over 2,000 years ago. We are the mother that he rose for on the third day. Can I tell us today that he didn't leave his throne, all of glory, and robe himself in flesh and walk among people for 33 years? He didn't endure the cross. He didn't just die. He didn't raise himself from the grave on the third day just because he could. No, no, no. But he did all that because there was an Acts chapter 2 coming. There was coming what is known as the birth of the mother called the church. In an upper room in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And there would start a wave that would come to where we are now in this church service today in Paris, Texas. A place where God is going to turn, I still believe and I know, this place upside down with a Holy Ghost move that we've never seen or heard. Not because of a man, but because of God's will and God's purpose. And how he does it is going to blow our minds. And you and I today, it's important, I believe, we understand on this Mother's Day, man, woman, child, teenager, we are all the spiritual mother today. And just like you would take care of your own children or your own nephews or your own grandkids, just like you would die for your own children and you would do anything to protect and make sure that their needs were met, the church, the bride of Christ, the mother, has to make sure that this place, this house, if you want to call it a nursery, if you want to call it a birthing room, whatever you want to call it today, that this is, I believe, should be the safest place in town. That our job as the mother is to love people unconditionally, and we are to love people without change, without putting a certain pressure on them. We're to love people without putting demands on them. We are to be a people who, like a mother, say, we have patience for you. Our job is to stand in the gap between hell and lost souls of this area. And as they sung about today, to take dominion and authority over every spiritual stronghold and principality. We don't bow to the enemy's tactics, but instead we stand at the gates of our city. We stand at the perimeter of our city and we say, as the mother, we will protect the body of Christ. Thank God today for the mother. It is the will of God as we stand today. The Bible mentions, and I'll briefly hit this, and I'll try to preach it one day, that lady, Rizpah, if you study her story, it's one of the most powerful stories in the Bible of a mother fighting for dead sons. She was a mother who was fighting for people she would never get back on this side of glory. She was a mother who had made up her mind that at least I can protect them from the birds taking them apart. And I stand today in the name of Jesus, and I declare as we end that we as the mother, that we as the bride of Christ, it matters not how dead the outside world may seem. It matters not how dead that your lost child may seem today. It matters not how dead that your friends, that the relationship seems today. That we are still responsible as the mother who stands in the gap and says, as long as you're breathing, as long as you're living, I'm going to always keep the door open to you. As long as there's still breath in your lungs, you can come in this house anyway. I don't care what shape you come in this house. You can come in and you'll find out there's nobody like the mother. There's nobody like the mother who will love you and nurse you back to health. There's nobody like the mother who will pray you out of the pits of hell. There's nobody like the mother who will pray you through the darkest, weary hours of your life. Can I tell you today, I'm talking to the church right now. This isn't just to a mom. I thank God for every physical, natural mom among us today. But we, as the body of Christ, have got to be busy about the Father's business. How are we busy about the Father's business? I'm going to tell you how we're busy. We're busy by being the mother. We're busy by being the one who opens her arms, the one who shows the child, this is the way we do it. This is the way we go. This is the way we pray. This is the way we praise. This is the way we worship. There's nobody like the mother. Thank God today for the mother called the church. Jesus did not die for a church that would fade away. Amen. He died for a church that would leave this earth on fire, full of passion, full of zeal. He died for the bride. He died for the mother. And he expects me, please hear me, he expects me as the mother in a spiritual sense to be on guard every day. He expects me as the mother not to go MIA in the late hours of living for God. He expects me as the spiritual mother not to go AWOL right now when times are getting harder and times may be getting tough, whatever may be going on in your world. He expects me as the mother to stand and fight and declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made that strong declaration, and I close with this, and he said these words. You need to choose today who you'll serve. He said, make up in your mind, I'm using the mother as an example, make up in the mind like a mother. We're going to step beyond that place of complacency and say, you know what? We're going to be a proactive family. We're going to be a proactive faith. We're going to be a proactive. I'm not talking about your home right now. This church. We're going to be a proactive church. We're going to be a mother that sees the drug addict, that sees the alcoholic, that sees the abused, that sees the one who comes in and has no confidence and they're full of insecurities. We're going to see God turn that around like a mother. I thank God for the mother I was raised in Bonneville, Texas. I thank God for every mother in that church who showed me, who prayed for me, who prayed me through, who led by example. And I thank God for the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, the mother in this community, the mother in this area, who I'm telling you again, folks, you hear what I'm telling you. When God begins, and he has, when he swings the doors open, the mother has to do this. The mother can't do this. That's not a real mother. There's never an option in this church to give anybody up for adoption. Hello? There are no abortions in this house. Everybody is valuable in this house. Red, white, yellow, black, blue, whatever you are, everybody's valuable in this house. They may cuss like a sailor on Monday and worship on Wednesday. That's all right. Like a mother, we're going to love them till they stop cussing. Come on, somebody. They may be wasted on Saturday night and shout on Sunday. That's okay. We're going to love them like a mother. Come on, somebody. They may be hitting this on Monday and worshiping on Tuesday. That's okay. We're going to love them like a mother. They may talk about you and your family behind your back on Wednesday, but on Thursday, we're going to love them like a mother. Just don't talk about my kids, all right? Amen. I'm going to love you like a mother, all right? Amen. Just don't talk about my kids. Amen. But the church, amen, we're going to love them like a mother. Never forget, and I'll hush, never forget, God did not call you to this particular location as a church, as a saint of God, just to be someone who is a professional pew warmer. Amen? God called you to be a mother. The church, hear me what I'm telling you. I'm not saying every day you'll go out and, no. But whatever role it is that God has you in right now, wherever it is that you fit your niche in the body, wherever, that's fine. Just find that niche and stay in that niche. What are you doing? I'm being a mother. I can take it. Tommy Hughes. No one's ever heard of Tommy Hughes, have you? Maybe you know him in your own life, but you never heard of Tommy Hughes I know. Have you? No. Tommy Hughes, though, he taught me as a young man, the mother of the church, how to pray with people in the altar. I never seen a guy in my life do what he did in the altar. I thought, man, how do you do it? It was a gift from the Lord. I'm still not nowhere near his level of prayer, but I believe God gives gifts in the body for stuff like that. There are folks who are gifted to pray for people. There are folks who are gifted to help people along. There are folks who are gifted to talk to someone. You know, I mean, there are some things I'm just not good at. You don't want me doing half the stuff. I promise you, you don't want to call me to come build for you. I ain't lying. You won't live in the house. It'll fall over. I'm not a builder. Amen. And I'll be the first to tell you that. But I would call Brother Darren. I'd call Brother Darren to come build for you. I'd call Brother Jason to come build for you because they know how to build. And so my point is whatever it is that God's called you to, be that mother. Amen. If God's called you to be a worshiper, great. Worship. If someone new comes in this house, don't leave them hanging. Show them how to worship. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell you, when I was growing up, I'm done. When I was growing up, I'm not against this. People would buy a pew, and they would. And I never forget, we had these little name tags. This pew was donated by Clarence and Gladys Jones, 1943. And bless God, that was their pew. By God, I spent $300 on this pew. It's my pew. Hang on. I thank God they gave. I'm not making fun of that. What I'm saying is, though, we're not called just to buy pews and then warm them up. We're called to be a proactive body. It's not about how much you gave or how. No, who cares about that stuff? So I'm going to be a proactive body. I'm going to be a church that's proactive in my community, in my city, in this area. Amen. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, God, for this great church. I thank you for every mother represented here today, God. Thank you for every lady who had any hand in helping raise a child, who had a hand helping guard and guide and nurture a child. Thank you for our mothers. God, thank you for the church who is the mother. We were born into this thing. God, thank you for the church who nurtured us, who loved us, who helped us. God, I ask you to help us, God, to be responsive to your word, to be doers and not just hearers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said amen. Happy Mother's Day. We